This time on episode 199 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we'll be talking about Iron Fist, the mistress of all agonies, and your weekly Marvel news.
I'm Chris Farrell from the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Sunday, September 10th, 2017, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast worldwide via www.geeks.live. Ladies, happy National Swap Ideas Day.
Yay.
Isn't that what we're doing right now?
Exactly. This is the National Podcasting Day. And it's not International Podcasting Day because that's September 30th, but this might as well be the National Podcasting Day.
Okay, sure.
I kind of figured it was better than choosing another option, which was National Grandparents Day. And I didn't want to insult anybody and I didn't want to feel as old as I am. So we went with National Swap Ideas Day.
Good choice.
Whatever you say, Grandpa.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist, which are now the Defenders on Netflix, Legion on FX, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of innocent food vendors just doing their jobs.
If you'd like to talk to us about innocent food vendors, you could visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you'd like to leave us a voicemail of innocent truck food vendors that will not get you sick, you can leave us a voicemail message at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
You can leave us a post about some of your favorite food trucks on our Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
If you'd like to talk to us about the taco truck on your corner, you can hit us up on Twitter, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If you want to leave us a comment about the Falcon waffle truck, you can catch us on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
It's GunnaGeek.com, which is great because we can swap out hosts when one is missing. And right now, Agent Lauren is still on vacation. Yet she's still doing her 2012 thing. She's getting everything prepped for the end of the world. And we have Consultant Michelle with us from the Starling Tribune. Michelle, it's so nice of you to come on and sit in for Lauren.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Even though it's Iron Fist, I like joining you guys talking about it.
I know. I feel guilty about asking anybody to be on these podcasts, but both you and Anthony have been really revved up about it. So, okay, let's have you on and let's have a good time talking about Iron Fist.
Remember season one of Daredevil when people were fighting over episode slots?
I know. We had to schedule people months in advance of, oh, we're recording at this point in time and you can have this episode. We literally had a lottery on which episodes people wanted to talk about for Daredevil. I remember those days. And thank you very much for everybody that joined us for Daredevil season one.
Yeah. If any of you guys want to come in and talk Iron Fist, you're more than welcome. We've got tons of open slots for some reason.
Yeah, we do. And we have a ton of...
You can have my spot.
Oh, but yeah, you can have my spot too. You have to run the podcast. There you go. Well, Michelle, thank you very much. And we look forward to all the great things that you're going to have to say for this episode. Because I know we do, because we've been talking about it all in pre-show. So here we go. Here we're going to talk about Iron Fist. We're on Iron Fist Episode 9, The Mistress of All Agonies. That's the title, The Mistress of All Agonies. Michelle, what's with the title?
So I know people are like, oh, these must be moves in martial arts. But considering how little martial arts these writers know, I'm thinking that the mistress of all agonies is actually Madame Gao, because she's all tied up in that chair, but she's just cool as a cucumber and getting into everybody's heads and, you know, basically mentally messing with them. And it was really cool to watch.
She has been interrogated through most of the 17th century.
Which is the 1600s.
Yeah, that's, first of all, very cruel time. Second of all, 100 years. She's got some experience dealing in these situations.
I know, I wonder who tortured her.
I don't know. Haley, who do you think tortured her, 1600s?
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I would think somebody that would know Doctor Who would kind of know time periods.
Why? It's all wibbly wobbly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was that the Spanish Inquisition?
It was the Victorian era.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, no, it's not the Victorian era. 1600s? No.
No, that was like the 1700s. Late 1700s. Early 1800s. When was Queen Victoria?
I don't know.
1800s.
1800s. There you go.
And then because this would have been... I love how we're trying to do this off the top of our heads and not, listeners, we are resisting going to Google because we're trying to actually be smart. Wouldn't this be Shakespearean time, Queen Elizabeth I? Because didn't Shakespeare die in 1603?
He did.
There you go. So probably that was like the start of her torture.
Right. Shakespeare died and she was in agony and... I don't know. We're really reaching here because it could have been in Japan. It could have been in Japan. We're just, you know, it could have been in China. It could have been wherever. We're white. We don't have any clue about those things.
It's just not a time of history that I know a lot about. Like, European history after, like, I don't know, 1200?
This is coming out of the Dark Ages, pretty much, in the Renaissance era. So, that's about all I know. So we're going to have to get on that, brush up on our history in the meantime.
Someone should start a podcast about history. Star Pie.
I will leave that to Dan Carlin and everybody else out there that does it way better than I do and gets millions of listeners. So there you go. Let's talk about the director for this episode, The Mistress of All Agonies. Haley, who directed this?
It's an Australian director named Jett Wilkinson. She has tons of Australian directing credits and fewer American ones, but she has 9 episodes of All Saints, 167 episodes of Neighbors, 4 episodes of City Homicide, 4 episodes of Crownies, 2 episodes of Packed to the Rafters, 2 of Mr. and Mrs. Murder, 4 episodes of Wonderland, 120 episodes of Home and Away, 4 episodes of Wentworth Prison, 1 episode of American Gothic, 1 of Code Black, 3 of Madam Secretary, and this episode of Iron Fist. She was also a producer for Wonderland.
She's also a 2-time nominee at the Australian Directors Guild Awards in the category of Best Achievement in Direction for a Television Drama Series for her work on Crownies and All Saints. And I don't know if that's Cronies or Crownies, so my apologies if we have Crownies. Mispronounced that. It's Crownies?
Crownies has no W.
Yeah, there you go. So she is phenomenal, and I'm glad she came to this episode. One of the better episodes, I think, in the series. We'll get to that in a second. Michelle, who wrote this episode?
This episode was written by Pat Charles, has 7 credits going back to 2000, including Sons of Anarchy, 42 episodes of Bones, 2 Resurrection, and 2 Iron Fist. This episode and Dragon Plays with Fire. Also is a producer for Bones, Resurrection, and Iron Fist.
All right, so we got a pretty solid team here and looking forward to great things to come for Jett Wilkinson because she has definitely made that transition across the pond and looking forward to any future things that she has in her docket. Mistress of All Agonies. We talked a little bit about Gao, but it begins with the cold opening of The Walking Dead.
Exactly. There's this swamp, and then all of a sudden you see this face, and you're like, hey, didn't Ward stab that guy like a few episodes ago?
That guy looks familiar.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, whoa, it's Harold with the knife still in his gut. And he pulls it out, and he comes back out all alive and stuff.
Not a scratch on him. His clothes are a little bit dirty, but he is just fine. Wow. Harold can't die. That's an interesting development.
Yes.
He can't die by being stabbed in the gut and dumped in the swamp. So it's like, out of all the list of ways you can die, Harold, you know, there's stabbed in the gut, dumped in the swamp. He can check that off knowing I cannot die that way.
But he has assumed it means he can't ever die.
And can drink bourbon.
Well, yeah, what's the point in clean living?
Okay, dear listener, I don't approve of litter, so what he did there was wrong, but getting rid of that green stuff.
Like, yes, the plastic cup, that was bad, but most of that green stuff was like grass or something anyways, so that's fine.
I think he's eventually going to regret his life choices, but in the meantime, I think he's...
Afterlife choices.
Oh, there you go. Some of his afterlife choices. Actually, all of them have been afterlife choices in this entire series.
Yes.
One of which is that his own son killed him.
Yes.
But hugged him.
Yeah, he hugged him, but then he put his son in the psych ward. So Ward's in the ward.
Oh!
He's been sitting on that one for like a week. You know he has.
Well, you know, forgiveness only takes him so far, right? It's like, okay, I won't disembowel you like you did me, but you need a timeout, Ward.
I didn't think that Harold had had time to orchestrate this whole thing until we saw him watching in the cameras. And it was really great because Ward was flipping in the birds in the doctor's office and he's just sitting there with a smile on his face saying, yeah, okay, a little tough love for you, son. There you go.
I love how Ward enjoys flipping off his dad through the cameras because he's done that before where he's just, you know, to the camera. It's like his move.
It is. And this is the first time he's done it with other people around. And it's not going to work in his favor because the doctor's right in front of him. So, yeah, that's not going to work well. And he doesn't have an iron fist to get himself out. This was, by the way, the same mental hospital that Danny Rand was forced to go to. So there's a little bit of experience in manipulating the system here for Harold. And I don't know how many times that they've done this before, but obviously it's working out for Harold. So he's going to go with a winner there. Harold was one of the centers of attention for this entire episode because he also gets to meet his daughter for the first time since he died. Joy meets daddy.
Creepy daddy.
It was interesting how she goes to the building and then he opens up all the doors. It's kind of like, I don't know, like you see some of that stuff in a horror movie where people actually go towards the noise for some stupid reason and then doors open and then they keep going and then they die.
Well, you know, she was expecting to find like the bodies of six dead hookers in there or something because it's, you know, whatever her drug addled brother has been up to and not telling her about.
Six, huh? You jumped to six. Any rationalization for six dead hookers?
I'm just saying that's the number she expected.
And you know this why?
I don't know.
You're just making it up, huh?
Listen, don't ask questions you don't want the answers to.
Okay, that's fair enough. With you and Lauren around, who knows what goodness or badness is going down. So Joy meets Daddy. She is speechless. She is crying. She hugs him. Incidentally, Ward hugged Daddy before. This is not going to end well. I just don't see any iteration of this that is going to end well for Joy.
Yeah, I mean, she's going to be put in, she's in a tough spot. Her dad's back. She took it very well, actually.
Yeah. And Ward took it well, too, by the way, figuring out dad can't die either. Wait, you can't die? I can't kill you? This didn't work out very well. So not only, by the way, can he not steal money from the company, he can't kill his own father correctly.
Poor Ward.
All sorts of messed up. All right, let's move on. This series had the standard Marvel ice cream moment. You know, we had one in Iron Man. We had one in Daredevil. And now we have one in Iron Fist where Harold provides ice cream to Kyle.
In so many flavors except vanilla.
It's the wrong thing to say. Don't say I want vanilla ice cream to Zombie Harold. That's just not a good move.
I mean, considering the ice cream comes from when Kyle picks up Harold and Harold's like, Kyle, what would you do if you could live forever? And Kyle's like, I'd have ice cream for breakfast and lunch, not dinner, just breakfast and lunch. And it's like, I'm kind of with Harold on this. Like, you could really, like, you could already have ice cream for lunch and dinner, breakfast too. I've done it because I'm an adult and I can go out and buy my own ice cream and eat it whenever. So Kyle does lack imagination when it comes to that. But that was, you know, poor Kyle getting killed by the ice cream scooper, right?
That was pretty brutal. I was kind of expecting him to like scoop out his eye or something.
You don't know. Maybe he did that afterwards. You know, I was worried about Kyle for quite some time because we hadn't seen him in a few episodes and definitely not when Harold was killed. I was kind of wondering why Kyle wasn't there, but he wasn't there. So, okay. And Kyle's worried that he hasn't heard from his boss in a while. I'd be kind of worried if I haven't heard from a psycho boss in a while and I was still living in the city. But then he gets called to go pick him up. Kyle goes to pick him up. Everything's going to be fine for Kyle, right? Nope, not indeed. He gets killed by the ice cream scoop very brutally. Just die, won't you? Just die. And yes, he indeed does die. So Swamp's getting a little bit more fertilizer.
You don't know where. Okay, I'm not going to spoil where Kyle ends up.
Oh, no, I have no idea. I have not seen any of these final episodes, so I just assumed he was going to end up back in the swamp.
Okay, the only thing I'm going to tell you is no. So I don't want to spoil because that is something that happens. It's really cool where you find. Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it. Just okay. Not in a swamp.
Kyle wasn't the only death this episode. There was another death. You know, you alluded to it before with your because of Michelle. There was a little bit of food truck violence.
I don't think that guy was killed because he tied him up.
True.
He just knocked him out. Also, I do not think that foil paper is strong enough for you to throw it as a star into a metal door.
Maybe that's...
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe that's his special power, is he can transform all objects into real solid.
No.
Oh.
No. I'm calling bull on that.
Bummer. So that would be a useful talent to have.
Sure. But I unless they're trying to foreshadow the fact of who he is and that he's learned to channel his chi and do that special thing. I don't want to spoil because I know it's SP you haven't seen, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's what they were trying to do.
Yeah. For the first time watcher, I do not know who this guy is. I don't know what his history is. I don't remember seeing him around before. He might have been in one of the earlier episodes. I just don't remember seeing him. I have no idea who he reports to. I have no idea what side he's on. I don't know if he's from Kunlun or just China. Is he working for the Han? I have no idea. So this is interesting, and he seems to be stalking Danny here. So we'll see how this all plays out.
One thing, well, it's kind of what we were talking about Harold. I should have said this. Harold, whatever the Han did for him, even if he's killed again, he still comes back without any additional intervention on their part. He's just permanently coming back from the dead.
But he continually, Ward finds out a little bit about the history here, and we find out that Harold will continually regress every time he's killed.
Yes, it's just, that seems to be a little different than what happens when the Han bring people back in Defenders, and I won't say any more than that.
Are you saying that Iron Fist was produced inferiorly?
I'm just saying it seems to be a little bit of a discontinuity between the two.
Iron Fist presenting a discontinuity in the Marvel Universe? No.
Yeah, you would have think somebody would have caught on to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
We also have Madame Gao, who's brought back to New York from China, presumably on the corporate jet. We don't see Danny freaking out this time. And all of a sudden, they're just in the dojo, just hanging out. Gao's tied up, and Danny wants to know about Daddy.
Claire is trying to talk reason into him, like, police? And he's like, no, I gotta know about Daddy. And he's ready to, like, torture. This guy is like, I've been trained by these monks, and all I want to do now is torture somebody. But Claire is like, truth serum, that might work. And I just love how, like, in the moments we're trying to, you know, get that truth serum, she's just like getting into Claire's head, getting to Colleen's head.
Gao definitely knows how to mind frack. That's the best way to say it. She knows how to. Matter of fact, the way she played it, I knew the drug wasn't going to work on her because she's Gao. And so she's just playing it up that she's doing something. And then, boom, she falls asleep. And Danny's like, well, I guess that's it. Because none of them have any experience with truth serum. They have no idea what's going on. And then All of a sudden, she's like, come on. And tortured through most of the 17th century. I've been around drugs a little bit. I think I know my way around here. So, no, I'm fine. Thanks for the play. But, no, I'm fine. And you guys are screwed. She kept saying that throughout the entire episode. You guys are screwed.
What she did say about Claire, though, when you look at it from a certain point of view, you know, she says to Claire, you're trying to look for your destiny. You're around all these special people. You think their special is going to rub off on you. But you know what they all have in common? They've been ruined. And, you know, you're in all of their lives. And that's something when we talk about these shows, we're like, hey, look, Claire's going to be in this. She's the unifying factor. That's awesome. And Madame Gal's like, no, Claire, you've ruined everything. Good job.
It's like, no, these broken people come to her and she patches them up, but like doesn't change the fact that they're kind of broken people.
That was an excellent tie-in to all of the Marvel Netflix series to date, though, because, well, Claire has been there the whole time, and quite frankly, Madame Gao has been there the whole time, too, in one way, shape, or form. So that was a great way to bring it all together at this point in time, which has been building and building, but, you know, the two are together talking back and forth for the first time. It was an interesting scene to watch, for sure. By the way, Gao admits to being, let's just say, 400 years old.
Wow. At least.
Yes, at least 400 years old. She doesn't look a day over 29.
Right.
Did a lot of 29-year-olds, haven't you?
I think I could also say I'm 29 at this point in time, too. So we'll just go with that.
I think you meant a day over 290. I think that's what you meant, SP.
Just multiply it by a factor of 10 for those that have lived throughout the centuries. So it was interesting. We get a little background in there and very little background into Gao. We were just discussing it before the podcast here. And Haley brought up the fact that the only other information we have on Gao before the Defenders, up until this point of Iron Fist, is the fact that she comes from farther away than China, which she mentioned, which we don't know where it is. Could be Kunlun, could be wherever. I mentioned Lian Yu trying to be funny, and then they said Lian Yu is actually not that far away. They're right. I'm wrong.
Yeah. Clearly, Lian Yu is like right off the coast of Star City. You know, you could go there for a long weekend.
That nobody could find for 5 years.
They just were tired of dealing with Ollie's crap. So they just left him.
They were so busy planning the big event at the end of season one that nobody really thought to look for him all that much more. Although, interestingly enough, Mom, she brought the ship up. So she found the ship, but she didn't find Ollie. I bet you she knew he was on Leon. Anyway, the discussion for Starling Tribune, if you want to hit that, that's the Arrow and CW DC comic book podcasts on the Gonna Geek Network. And there's also one on Flash called Crimson Comet, which you can discuss this as well. And Haley might know a thing or two about Crimson Comet.
Maybe, just a thing or two.
Okay. So the only other major thing that I can recall from this episode is Colleen getting sick from the poison and then her sensei having to come in and save her.
Well, this is what gets me. You know, he's looking at Danny. He's like, yo, you're the eye on your fist. Why haven't you done anything? And Danny, being his usual typical idiot self, was like, what could I do? And Bakudo, that's his name, right?
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, you mean they haven't taught you that? Okay, center your chi, make the fist. Now open the fist. And Danny is like, oh my God.
This is like magic.
It'll keep glowing when I open my hand. It's like what? You never was like in Kunlun or maybe on the airline or maybe you were bored and you didn't like focus your chi and then you find the fist. You never thought in all this time to open the fist and realize that it could still glow.
I believe we've established Danny's kind of an idiot.
Kind of? And this is like, you are an idiot. There's no more kinda. I can understand him not knowing he could heal, but that look of his face that he didn't realize that his hand would still glow once it was extended was just, that's like, all right, Danny, you are an idiot.
Yes. Yes, he is.
And he's an idiot for thinking that he could heal her and not lose any chi, thus passing out and getting kidnapped.
Again, we've established he's an idiot.
And unfortunately, Colleen doesn't know any better. She's like, oh, it's fine. We got it. My sensei will fix everything. She's happy, giddy. Oh, it's fine. In that afterglow of getting fixed by the Iron Fist. So we know this is not going to end well. And unfortunately, I think we're going to say goodbye to Claire for a while, if not for the rest of the series, which is really a bummer for me.
Oh, but she was a total badass with those claw thingies.
Oh, she was. Yeah, in the fight when the hand comes in and literally cuts through the floor to get into the dojo. Yeah, there was a lot of badass fighting there. And Colleen, as sick as she was, she did pretty well as well.
Yep.
And Gouge, she was just sitting there the whole time, right?
Yep. Yeah, she didn't need to do anything.
So these are Colleen and Danny. They're supposed to be kind of ninjas. And so this gas grenade comes in and they don't think to grab it and throw it.
That is so, that doesn't work.
Yeah, it can work. You grab it and you throw it out.
Where would they have thrown it?
Through the open window that was broken with the grenade coming in.
That's true. That is true.
Just saying.
I'm going to say again, Danny, kind of an idiot.
Okay.
And Claire was sick.
Yeah.
I mean, Colleen was sick.
Yep. So, Michelle, you were saying this was one of the better Iron Fist episodes?
Yes. Because stuff does happen. And also, when I was last on, I think we talked about episode 6 and I rewatched episode 6. Well, when you asked me on, I did not rewatch episode 7 and 8. I actually skipped and actually watched this.
As is right and proper.
And you can do that. You actually don't miss anything. They mention there's Gao. They mention coming back from China and everything. So I think because I skipped a couple of episodes from the rewatch, you come in and stuff does happen. You know, Harold comes back, Ward gets trapped. You learn stuff about Madame Gao. So this is one of the ones where something happens. This is one of the ones where you could tell people, okay, watch this episode, skip these two, maybe watch that really cool fight from that one episode. I can't remember if it was 7 or 8 with the drunken guy, but really, and then watch this one. This is a series where you can skip, but this, I would consider this one of the better ones.
Haley, what did you think about the episode in general?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember who I was talking with. Oh, it was on Twitter. We had this conversation. Like, there's like 4 episodes of this series that you need to actually watch. And the rest of the time, you should just fast forward until you see Claire or Colleen and watch those parts and just skip over all the Danny crap and all of the Meacham crap. Yeah. Like, I feel like there's, knowing the whole series, there's a few episodes here in the middle where it's like important for the story arc that it's in now. But for the overall story arc, there's a lot you could just skip to get from the beginning to the end of the series.
That's fair enough. I can see that. I mean, you would have, if you didn't see the last 2 episodes, you would have missed the drunken fight. You would have missed Ward killing Harold, and you would have, I guess, missed some history that Gao knew Harold, but you get that in this one. So yeah, it was a slow burn. Even this episode, I was watching it as I was typing notes. Live, usually I like to watch it once and then type notes as I'm watching it again. This one, I just did the same thing. I'm glad I did because there was long stretches. I was like, okay, like when Ward and Harold talk, yeah, it's a suspenseful scene, but like nothing happens. I'm like, okay, let's get to it. Let's get through it. And some of this is my mentality of, I just want to get through the series as well. But as Michelle said, some things did happen in this episode. So I paid attention to those things.
I really want somebody to go through and make like a better cut of the series, and it's probably like 5 episodes long.
Yep.
And then put that on YouTube, and then everybody be like, oh my God, Iron Fist is amazing, and it's 5 episodes long.
You would have to cut out a lot of the fight scenes, because that's a big problem with this series, is a lot of the fight scenes are not very good.
Okay, you put in like footage from like a Bruce Lee movie or something, and you're like, this is what it should, because you know...
What was that comedy movie, Kung Pao Enter the Fist or whatever?
Yes.
Where it was like intercut with a really crappy old kung fu movie?
Yes. Yes. Like that's what should that, you know, put that in there going, this is how it should have been, and then cut back to the regular episode.
I could see that. I could see, even if you had the older footage as commercial breaks, basically, it would be kind of fun. All right, Michelle, you actually have some quotes for this episode.
Yes. The rock trapped in a well doesn't understand the sea.
Oh, the frog. The frog trapped in the well. I did catch that the second time around. The frog.
No, it's the rock.
I swear he's... Okay. Either way, understand. Yeah.
I heard it as the rock. Because a rock being trapped in a well, because...
Is the rock on your mind? Because he's been in a lot of commercials lately.
I just watched Moana last night.
Oh, that was really nice. I actually liked that more than I did. Okay. Do you really think your drugs would affect me? I spent most of the 17th century being interrogated.
Most of a century. Okay. It's a little bit of experience being interrogated. And she's all in one piece, too. So that's a bonus.
It's just ice cream. Oh, shut up and die.
Kyle's last words. It's just ice cream.
Just ice cream. And finally, sweet Christmas. It worked.
Worked indeed.
It's Claire.
I forgot I do have one quote. Amazing. That wasn't a compliment.
Oh, God. Oh, that is, oh, my goodness. So...
I feel like that's when he really decided to kill him. Like, you could do anything you wanted, and that's what you're going to do. I'm going to kill this mofo.
And I think another reason why I like this episode is it wasn't Danny running around going, I'm the Iron Fist. I'm the Iron Fist. I don't think he said, I am the Iron Fist in this one. Somebody asked him if he was the Iron Fist, but he actually didn't go, I am the immortal Iron Fist. I think it's one of the few episodes where he doesn't.
I'm a little bit surprised that Madame Gao didn't try to ding him on that in this episode, but you know, limited dialogue, limited time. She was doing such a great job with everybody else that it wasn't necessary. Okay, so next time we're not going to talk about Iron Fist because next time is our 200th episode, and we've decided not to burden ourselves with Iron Fist. And since Haley, Lauren, and myself, and Lauren doesn't know this yet, by the way, but Haley, Lauren, and myself have not podcasted on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 1, Episode 1 pilot, we're going to go ahead, take a look at that, and talk about that in retrospect now that we've gone through 4 seasons. So that will be fun. That will be this Thursday. We'll run down our episode 200 on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pilot. So if you have anything to say about that and you happen to be watching this live, go ahead and get us some feedback on that. And we would be glad to talk to you about that. Also, next Sunday, we'll be running down Iron Fist Season 1, Episode 10, Black Tiger Steals Heart. And that is in our drive to get finished with Iron Fist so we can move on to Defenders. And I believe we're just a couple of weeks away now from the Inhumans pilot airing on ABC. So we've got that in store for you as well. And don't forget, we got The Punisher coming up later this year. We've got Thor Ragnarok. We've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. starting in November. Lots of great stuff in November. So, or in this fall. So just stay tuned to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. I almost said Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Wing, you screwed me on the name again.
Did you mention also The Punisher is coming this fall?
I did. I did say The Punisher.
Okay.
Is yeah, coming. He just said that.
I did. Okay, I wasn't listening. I don't listen when Starpie talks. Yeah. Sorry.
As proven many, many times.
I have to because it's in my contract. It's actually there.
Oh, that's
there.
What you get. I didn't sign the contract.
That's right. Yeah. We started the contract, yeah.
He learned from you two, and then he's like, oh, I should put that in there. And so I've come later, so it's in there. So I'll take the hit for you, Haley. I'll listen and then just pass along what's vital.
Okay, I'll listen to Michelle, and she can tell me if you say something important.
Exactly.
Actually, I had a lawyer look over that, and he said, yeah, actually, this is mostly binding. You're good. Mostly binding. Okay, whatever. It was a joke anyway. But is part of the many podcasts that Michelle and I and Haley are on the Gunna Geek Network, talking about Starling Tribune and the Crimson Comet. There is a new podcast that is on the network as of this week. They did kind of a soft announcement last week. There'll be a full announcement later this week. Because they did a soft announcement, I'm going to go ahead and do the announcement here on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Just One More Fix. They've been in the podcast business for a year. Their latest episode is Year One in Review, where James, Lacey, Lee, and Carrie take a look at the first year in the history of the Just One More Fix saga, what we have learned, fun things we have done, and an apology from James for the volume on the intro music in the early episodes. So yes, if you do go back and listen to their early episodes, the intro and outro volume will blow you out, and then the volume level goes down for the rest of the podcast. So he apologizes for that. And it is a tabletop gaming podcast. They don't actually play the games on the podcast, although they might in the future, but they talk about all facets on gaming, the gaming industry, strategies involved, different tidbits on how to create characters, that sort of thing. So if you're into tabletop gaming, Just One More Fix is the first tabletop gaming podcast on the network. I managed to meet James at Gen Con. He was actually in our panel that Michelle and I did with Cody and Jonathan. He came up afterwards. We talked a little bit and then we communicated later and invited him to apply to the network, which he did. And now they are part of the network. So if you want to catch a tabletop gaming podcast, catch Just One More Fix. It will be on GunnaGeek.com soon, probably by the time you hear this, if you're listening to it later. But as of September 13th, they are part of the GunnaGeek.com network. All right, ladies, are you ready to get into some news?
Let's get it.
Yes.
All right. First up, you might have heard a little about this already if you listen to other podcasts, but Disney is starting its own streaming service, and it has recently been announced by CEO Bob Iger that Marvel and Star Wars movies will be on the streaming service as well.
Yeah, it's supposed to start in 2019. So if you've got Netflix and you start to, it's time to start binging, basically. this is kind of getting a little bit too much for me with all these. It's like
everyone has to have their own.
Everyone has to have their own now. Now I'm wanting them all to bundle into one thing. And oh my goodness, that's cable. Something that I've started to do is I actually get HBO and Stars through Amazon. And the reason why I do this is because Amazon doesn't care if you have HBO for 1 month, cancel it, and then get Showtime for 1 month, cancel it, and then get Stars for 1 month and cancel it. So that's something what I've been doing, HBO for Game of Thrones, turn that off, Stars for American Gods, turn that off. So I'm sort of wondering if that's what more people will start to do. I'll have Netflix for 3 months, suspend that, and then have Hulu for 3 months, and take that $20 and spend it 1 month on Netflix and then 1 month on this. And I really think if people start to do that, this will backfire. You think?
Yeah, because instead of having, a steady stream of revenue from Netflix that you're going to get every month, it's like, for the month after we put a new Star Wars movie or whatever on our new awesome Super Disney streaming service, we get money and then we don't get any money for months. For me personally, it's like the Disney movies I want to rewatch, I own. I own the Star Wars movies. I own the Marvel movies. There's nothing that would bring me to this streaming service right now.
I think eventually you're going to have things that prevent you from skipping around like that. Like they'll lock you into a contract for a year or something like that. So
I don't see that ever happening with the streaming services because people won't do it. It'll be like, oh, this is back when, we had to have satellite contracts. It's bull. I'll just pirate again.
Exactly. But they'll get a certain percentage of people that don't know how to pirate that will go ahead and lock themselves in because they want to see their favorite show, whether that is Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, whatever it is in the future. And then don't forget, there are streaming cable services now. You have the PlayStation View. Haley, I believe
yes.
You have PlayStation View, right?
Yes, I do. Yep.
And there's also YouTube that has one. There's another one or two out there. So there are streaming.
Sling, DirecTV Now, Hulu has its now.
Right.
So,
and Hulu's now pay to play. There's no more free there. So I think you're going to see more of the bundling in streaming services to try to bring this cost down, but you're still going to incur the cost of the internet into your house. Mm-hmm. And that's when you debundle that from cable, unless one of these services bundle with cable, you're going to get a higher cost per person, I think the panacea of, oh, wow, we can stream this stuff on the internet is going to go away. And the costs are going to rise to the point where it's going to start locking you in again. And we'll see where it goes, because who knows? Who knows what the market's going to say? All I'll say is I'm not going to get CBS. And that's going to hurt because Star Trek, but that is literally the only thing I'm going to see. And it's just not worth it for me. And I'm hoping to catch it on Netflix at some point in time in the future, or buy it, like Haley said, and maybe stream it on Vudu, which seems to be the consolidation of everywhere. But to get back to this news story where Disney's only going to have their stuff streamed on their service, I think that's actually to their benefit because they get to keep a lot of the money. So the corporation's good. But for people like us, I don't know. And I don't know if they're going to lose a generation of fans that just aren't experiencing Disney all the time at home, because not everybody's going to buy this. Not everybody is the Marvel buff or the Star Wars buff or the Disney buff and needs to see this. So, you know, Disney XD is out there right now. Is that going to transition to this?
What I see them possibly doing is, all right, so let's look at it. You know, we're a Marvel podcast. Netflix has that deal for all that Marvel content, and they co-produced all that. So that's not going off of Netflix. But I would be shocked if there were ever a new Marvel series on Netflix. What I can see them doing is, you know, wrapping up the contract they have now, the deal they have now for this content, and that will stay on Netflix. But going forward, original content that they're going to put on a streaming service, it's going to go on this new Disney service, and they'll produce it themselves. And the way you get people to not do what Michelle's doing, where, you know, you're turning services off, you know, every couple months based on what you want to watch, is, you know, there's a new show coming out on our streaming service every month. And that's what's going to keep you from one month to the next. Because I know that's what keeps me on Netflix at this point, is there's enough Netflix exclusive content coming out all the time that it's worth it for me to stay there. And then, you know, all the other old TV shows and stuff that are streaming, that's just, you know, icing on the cake for their exclusive content.
There is precedence to be had here, because the Star Wars movies were originally footed, but the bill was paid by Fox. So they had the rights to the first three movies, and you don't see Disney re-releasing those at all because they got to go back to Fox. So it's a lose-lose game for Disney at this point in time. They want to branch out. They want to create more content, so they're not going to go back. So what you're saying about Netflix, that content is there. Yeah, the content is there, and Disney's going to lose that. So they're just protecting themselves for the future. As a corporation, it's a smart move, but I'm not sure it's a smart move for everyone, because not everybody's going to pony up for this, just like not everybody's going to get the CBS All Access for Star Trek and what, CSI? I don't even know what else is on CBS right now that I'd want to watch. So I don't really pay attention to that.
Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. I do know that I will not watch any new show on NBC, Fox, or Syfy until it reaches the third season now, because I just don't want to be shocked by an early cancellation. And this is brought about by Dark Matter. If you want to hear all about that, you can go listen to last week's GunnaGeek.com episode. I believe it was 206. And, oh boy. Oh, talking about streaming, I found out that the cable app that was streaming in my house was no longer capable of streaming to Xbox 360 anymore, that the cable company had removed the app from there and it had stopped working. So I had to go out yesterday and buy an Xbox One for my daughter so she could stream cable to her room. And
couldn't just get her like a Roku stick or something?
Well, I mean, this was a combination Blu-ray player and gaming system and everything else. So it was just a swap out for one or the other. So it was cheap enough. I'm like, okay, whatever. So yeah, this is causing gear transition. I mean, the whole thing to digital TV caused a transition. Now it's the whole HDMI thing. It's one of the reasons why the Nintendo gaming systems are so sought after right now, is they actually have those HDMI outs that the original doesn't, and a lot of TVs sold today don't have those RCA ins. So transition in the space, it's going to be real, and we'll just see where the streaming thing ends up. I heard this and was like, I saw this coming. I mean, it was inevitable, I think, but we'll see how it works out for Disney.
Yep. Well, some of you might remember that we were originally an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. So we've got actually a little bit of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. news, and that is that season 5 is going to see Nick Blood return as Lance Hunter.
Yeah, there's an actual shot of him reading the script in shade. So it's really nice to see, you know, him come back They were written out in season 3 for the spinoff that never happened. And Adrian Pilecki, that's how you pronounce her name, right?
Pilecki, yeah.
Yeah, Pilecki. Yeah, she's on that Seth MacFarlane show.
The Orville.
Yeah, that's not, yeah, the Orville, the Star Trek, that's not Star Trek. So she can't come back yet unless it gets canceled.
It will.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm only hoping for it because I want her back on S.H.I.E.L.D. as well.
From what I've heard, it's not very good. And people are seeing it being one of those shows where you like 5 episodes air and then you never hear about it ever again.
Yeah, because people think it's going to be a half hour comedy, but it's actually an hour comedy drama thing. And I don't think a lot of people realize that it's an hour. So anyway, but yeah, we're going to get Hunter back and then cross our fingers, we'll get Poppy back.
Yeah, and I don't wish any ill will towards any of the cast, Adrian Pilecki specifically, but yeah, I'm not watching the Orville. That goes back to my comment before. I'm not watching any new series on Fox. They burn me on Terra Nova. I'm not watching any new series on Skiffy. They burn me on miniseries, Defiance, Dark Matter. We can go on and on. And I'm not watching any new series on NBC. It's just 3 bad networks that give actually good geeky sort of content, but then cancel it without giving it a chance to obtain an actual audience. So I'm done with it. Moving on.
Wait a minute. I need to rewind a little bit. I know Haley didn't catch this because she doesn't listen to you, but did I hear the words Terra Nova come out of your mouth?
Yeah, I actually enjoyed the series Terra Nova, and I was looking forward to where it was going when they canceled it.
Yeah, I was just barely hanging on to that show, and then it was kind of interesting the way they ended their last episode. Like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen next. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, that's true. I wish the last episode was like the pilot and they went off from that because that was kind of cool. But yeah, I don't know. I never lamented the loss of that show. So meeting somebody, of course, you did like episode 1 of Star Wars.
Exactly. Well, it's more that the way it ended in this particular case with Terra Nova, because they did promise great things in the future, then bam, nothing. Like Dark Matter, they actually have a 5-year plan. And so the next 2 seasons were going to be phenomenal. The showrunner has come out, who's actually interviewed by my former co-host on Voices of Defiance. They interviewed him over on Sci-Fi Boneyard. So if you want to go check out that out, you can. And they were going to move forward with some great stuff. And the way season 3 ended, it was basically a huge cliffhanger, even though they kind of wrapped up the season. It was a cliffhanger for the series, and it's like, oh man, and you're just going to hang that out? No, okay. So the series was not produced by Sci-Fi. It was purchased by Sci-Fi from an outside production company. So I get that, the fact that they wanted to give more money into interior production. Okay, but don't give us this and then cut us off. And it's happened over and over and over again. Again, if you want to hear more of this information, you can go to guineageek.com/203 and you can hear me rant all about it. But yeah, I'm done with those 3 networks in particular, because they have baited and switched and not really gone out and fought for, with the exception of Chuck, which in my opinion ended badly. Okay, but at least the series was out there. So yeah, I did have some issues. I do have some issues with those networks. And I'm not saying I won't watch anything from those networks anymore, but give me 3 seasons and show me you're committed, and then I will give you my attention. That's just the way I am.
So we're becoming part of the problem, because if people don't watch from episode 1, they get canceled. But then people are like, I need a full season or something so I can binge it on Netflix and see if I want to watch the next season.
I won't say that I'm part of the problem. I think the problem is squarely with the networks and where they're thinking and their business practices. Until they change those, I am not going to support them. So it is it's on their onus. It's not my fault that I'm not watching. It's their fault.
Yeah, but because you're not watching, you're compounding the problem. Like, these shows are going to continue to have low viewership because a lot of people are feeling the way you do, so they're going to get canceled.
Well, look at CW. The shows on CW, they're successful. They go on for Supernatural. What are they on, season 15 now?
14. Well, CW does cancel. It canceled The Tomorrow People. It canceled Frequency. It canceled that asteroid one whose name I can't remember. It looks like, and they ended up canceling Beauty and the Beast. They moved it to the summer. The only reason why they got an extra season They actually did say to the show people, you will wrap it up. We will give you one more season because we like our fans, so you can wrap it up. That's something that I wish I think that's what we wish sci-fi would have done. I think we wish they would have said to the show people, hey, we're thinking about ending your show. You know, maybe if they could have just given them like maybe five.
So plan an ending.
Yeah, plan an ending, or hey, we'll give you four more episodes or something to wrap it up or something. I think that's what we're upset about. It's that sci-fi didn't give them a way to end it.
There are a lot of networks now that are doing that. It's like, yeah, we're still going to cancel this show, but we're going to give you, you know, a special to wrap it up or something like that. Netflix is doing that with Sense8. There was a huge outrage when that was canceled. So they're getting, I think, a 2-hour special to finish up that series. Timeless was canceled, and now they're getting another 10-episode run, I think, to kind of close out their series. So more networks are going that way to allow these, you know, even if they didn't have huge viewership, you know, they have a rabid fan base, they're giving them the opportunity to finish out their storylines.
Yeah, networks need to realize that having shows that have a end is a better way to like sell it to streaming services like Hulu and Netflix, because then they can go like, hey, here's this, you know, show and it has an ending and you won't be disappointed that, yeah, you know, like Firefly.
You can go binge watch it.
We've experienced this effect on this very show with Agent Carter. Agent Carter was not given an ending. There was a big cliffhanger. It came and went and everybody's like, okay, what happened? And it is the one cliffhanger above everything in the Marvel Universe. I'm like, come on. It's ABC. They're owned by Disney. They own Marvel. Just give them an ending and it'll be fine. And they have not done it yet. And it just bugs me.
I would have rather gotten a season 3 of Agent Carter than apparently what we're going to get with Inhumans. Which takes us to our final news story. There is a Game of Thrones trailer for Inhumans.
I wanted to end on something very positive and kind of fun. And I admit, I like mashups when they are done really well. And YouTuber Marvel Geek 101 did this trailer for Inhumans in like the Game of Thrones feeling. There's actual footage from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the trailer for Inhumans, and footage from Game of Thrones. And it makes Inhumans fascinating and like, I almost want to watch it. Like, if this was the only trailer I saw, I'd be like, wow, I really hope this is the show. But it's not.
Yeah, I'm checking out Rotten Tomatoes right now for the theatrical release of Inhumans, and it is not good.
Yeah, that tanked.
What was the weekend box office last weekend? Did we get that? It was projected at what, 2.6 million?
I'm not sure. I'm not looking at that right now. I'm looking at the Inhumans, though. 0% from the critics. 51% from audiences.
Now, I've talked to different people that actually went to go see it. Believe it or not, I talked to a few people that went to go see it, which is few and rare. And they said, well, it wasn't so bad. It was actually produced really well. And the CGI and the hair, I brought that up on Medusa. And they said, it wasn't so bad. Well, was she controlling it or was it a symbiote sort of relationship? Oh no, they basically wrote it in like she was controlling it, which okay. is not comically correct. But
the worldwide box office right now, 2.6 million.
Well, it was only out for that one weekend. That was it. Limited release. I think it was only in the United States.
That's really bad. No, it has a foreign box office too. That might just be Canada. The domestic box office is 1.5 million.
Wow. That probably just barely covered production costs.
It did not cover production costs, I would guess. That probably didn't even cover the cost of like printing the film for IMAX.
I think the reason that they did it that way was because they promised Marvel promised an Inhumans movie, a film, major motion picture, that didn't happen. So this was their tip of the hat to the people that would have lambasted them for not doing it. Oh, you took this movie that was in development and you threw it into a series. Well, they got their chance to go see it in this theater. Haley, do you remember, and I'm stretching my brain, I can't remember this at all, what the Doctor Who releases to the movie theater did just off the top of your head? It was more than 2.6 million, right?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's more though.
Yeah. I think it was. Anyway, that's just a benchmark for it for me. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head that's done it, but I know a bunch of that. Matter of fact, Close Encounters of the Third Kind was also in a re-release that same weekend that Inhumans were out in the theater. So
there was nothing out that weekend. It was for Labor Day weekend, and my mom was visiting. So we were like, oh, maybe we'll go see a movie. But there was nothing to go see, and I wasn't going to pay to see this in IMAX.
Well, in a few weeks, we will see what Inhumans look like, and we'll go from there. In the meantime,
okay, so Doctor Who, Day of the Doctor, it did $3 million in the UK.
£3 million or $3 million?
$3 million.
Okay. Impressive. Just in the UK.
Yeah, that's just the UK. I don't have US numbers. Australia was 1.7 million.
I had seen Day of the Doctor on the TV, and then I went to go see it on the big screen. I was so grateful I did. It was a well done thing. I really enjoyed it.
Yep.
In the meantime, Michelle, this Game of Thrones type trailer for Inhumans, you would recommend going out to see it?
Yes. It's just like a minute or something. It was really well done. I liked it.
Okay.
That's good.
And I want to thank everybody who reached out to us on Twitter that has been sending us some great news stories and commenting back and forth with us. We'll get back to the feedback in the next coming episodes, but the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season 5, we saw that from various different people, with Nick Blood coming back as Lance Hunter. So we really appreciate you continuing to reach out to us on that. Thank you very much. In the meantime, in the spirit of Harold Meacham, we are going to zombie walk this one out. I want to say thank you very much to Michelle again for stepping in for our vaunted agent, Lauren, who's on assignment preparing for the end of the world right now after Hurricane Harvey came through and decimated Houston. By the way, our condolences to everybody in Houston and in the Florida area now impacted by Hurricane Irma. We really are reaching out to you. And if you need any help, you know, reach out to us and we'll see what we can do for you. In the meantime, just let us know how you're doing, because we know people in both areas and we know you are or will be affected. And our best wishes go out to you as you try to reassemble your lives. So, Michelle, thank you very much for stepping in.
No problem. You know, I always enjoy coming on, even if it's about Iron Fist. And, you know, my thoughts are also with the people out west who, I guess, basically the entire western part of the United States is on fire. So I feel for all of you, and stay safe, and, you know, reach out if you need anything as well.
Thank you to everybody that listens. Speaking of Hurricane Harvey, Lauren and I will be doing a special episode that you will be able to pay for along with some other podcasts. The proceeds for that will go to benefit people affected by Hurricane Harvey. More details about that will be coming soon.
Indeed. And unfortunately, I'm just not able to participate because I have other podcasting stuff going on right then. But I would have been there if I could be. So go ahead and we will get you all that great information once it is actually available. Until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
We'll see you guys on Thursday for episode 200.
Woo!
Woo! Yeehaw!
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.